Welcome to Starfield Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I'm an SMB Online, Dead Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a stream every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. Just join the SFU On Call stream, that voice chat, and you'll find, if you want to go there, you need to find the invitation at sfuoncall.com, the website. It's right there on the main page. And of course, if you want to watch me live, you know, in video form, you can go to twitch.tv, yes, twitch.tv/sfuoncall, and join there. You can watch my wonderful face, and also you can actually join the textual chat there. You know, if you want voice, you have to go over to the Discord servers. You want the text chat, that will be on Twitch. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to follow me on the Twitter, you can follow me on sfuoncall or my personal account, which is Paul France, PaulFranz. There's no T in that. And of course, my business account, which is France Games, FranzGames. And of course, there's my Blue Sky account. Actually, yes, I do have two accounts on Blue Sky. One is sfuoncall.bsky.social, and the other one is franzgames.com. And of course, there's a lovely podcast, getting into podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. Actually, it's relatively quiet this week because of the Thanksgiving break. They didn't post any updates, so I'm assuming everything is as it was last week, including them not finishing up the 3D printed ship contracts. I'm not sure if, I'm assuming if they've gotten to the contract stage, that they actually got some samples and are happy with the samples that they've gotten back from the 3D printers. Also, you know, I know that ACTA and Star Armada made some progress. You know, the Star Armada's Rumors of War, which is their next book when it comes to Star Armada. Also, this weekend, found that the online store is the F&E Countersheet Indigo, which is the ISC War countersheet. Right now, it's on sale for $12.56. Forgive me. And that's just double counters. 280 double counters. Of all of them are ISC. So if you need some more ISC in your life, hey, that's one way of getting it. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the Sapphire Star 19 tournament, we've actually gotten completed round two, including a wild game between Carl Magnus and Jeff Clark. They played it out, and Jeff Clark defeated Carl Magnus. We had some wobbling happen in that, and that actually completed, which is good to see that that's done. Moving onward to the third round. And actually, that one actually was interesting that I just read, which is Daniel in the Romulan TKE defeated his opponent. I forget what it is now. Really? Excuse me for my video people, because right now I've got a cat on my shoulder. Can you just wait? So that's continuing on. When it comes to the 500 BBV tournament, I still haven't got my game in. I'm still waiting for Justin, because I think Justin is having issues with his email client, where he's not getting the email. He doesn't check it because it gets notification. At least that's what I'm guessing at the moment. But if it was actually in his email, he'd get the notification. That's what I'm guessing is happening, because that's what he reported, that, you know, he's not seeing my response until a few minutes before it's supposed to play. And my guess, that's when he's checking his email. Because I know I'm sending it, but way before then. But anyhow, it is what it is. But you know, there's other games going on when it comes to the 500 BPV tournament, including second round games. I'm still, as I said, we're hoping we can get our game done. When it comes to online client, there's not much happening there this week. When it comes to Starfleet Warlord, I have 58 and 59 are going on well. Also, standard game number 98 is starting, i.e., the email has gone out announcing the new game that's going to be starting. It's going to be what I've done in the past, which is weekly turnarounds. So if you are in the Starfleet Warlord, then please join them. Join the game. I sent it out to the mailing list, and actually I got some responses which I need to look at. I haven't had a chance to look at them. Just Thursdays are not a good day to look at anything outside of my job and then going on doing my podcast, because I really don't have time to check on other things. I'm way too busy doing everything else. And of course, going forward to onward and forward to the library report. Library report for this week, the only happened is a little bit for SFB. We fixed There was a fix for the Liren and TGB, which I'm assuming is being used in one of the campaigns. And when it comes to FedCon, there's been no update there. So with that is news for this week. It's me, yes, the one and only Paul Franz, welcoming you to the Star from the Universe On Call. And tonight we got me and we've got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Ooh. And that's it for tonight. Okay, there. Don't mind me. I'm just bringing up the stream manager so I can watch my lovely face while I'm recording over here. Hey, I don't know when Twitch actually added the stream manager for the iPad app. Maybe they finally figured out that hey, people actually are recording elsewhere and then using their iPads as a monitor of sorts, you know, to see what actually they're streaming, and therefore and managing that, or that might be that or something else. Anyhow, don't mind me. I'm going down that road. That might be a good thing. But anyway. For tonight, topic for tonight, which is I have to tough to figure out. I'm kind of off the cuff. Okay, but anyway, I think I want to start one actually with one quick topic, and I'm sure some people actually would enjoy this because of it's rarely I talk about it, which is Starfleet Warlord. One thing that I did this week, which I finally got around to, and it's called sitting down and actually get my butt done. Which is when it comes to Starfleet Warlord, I finally got the next standard game that got it announced. I got it out the door. I meant, let's put it this way, that this announcement was supposed to go out like a month ago, but every single weekend something else seemed to be more important than getting that announcement out. So, because I really wanted to look at some of the suggestions. And actually, looks like I only had one that I could find. There might have been more in the past. I didn't organize them well enough so that I could easily find them. When it comes to the new standard game, and when it comes to the standard game, the one thing that's going to be happening is something that kind of already happens with a Die Hard game, which is with a Die Hard game. I've set it up so that for the NPCs, basically the computer controlled corporations that are supposed to be players, you know, because I have so many slots. I try to make a board that fills up the slots. Obviously, that's impossible in some cases, just because the number of people. Now, I think it was, I forget which one. Might have been the last one. Game number 97. where actually we had a full board. I was able to shrink it down. Instead of being a 10 by 10, I think it was like an 8 by 8. And on an 8 by 8 board, I got all the slots filled. So if we have the same thing again, this won't apply. But if we have more people than I can fill on a normal 8 by 8 board, because the way things are set up, and that is each player is two hexes separate. Now, the one complaint that I had gotten in the email, which was when you have those NPCs that are non-competitive, basically they're not hard to kill, you know they're pretty lame. That gives that any person who's beside that assuming that the person on the other side of that NPC hasn't taken up the NPC slot, it makes it relatively easy for that person who is beside it, beside one of the NPC corporations. Even though it's two sectors away, it's still relatively easy. To conquer them, they're relatively easy, at least according to this one person. So now what I'm doing is actually I'm setting up so that the starting headquarters, the base on the headquarters, is actually a little bit stronger than the normal starting. Also, it starts with a larger number of ships, and the ships are going to be a little slower. So that hopefully that's the number of ships that it will take to not number of ships, but the number the battle force that a player encounters on the NPCs when it comes to attacking the home office, the home base for the player, or in this case the NPC, it'll be more difficult to defeat than previously has been the case. So that's one of those things that did change. I had it so that it's going to start a standard Y165. So instead of having a shift to plus 5, it's going to start the normal 165. So that means that you don't get any of the more advanced ships. 5 years difference. Actually, there is a difference for certain ships in that. And also, I'm sticking with the what I've done in the past few games, which I thought was a kind of a neat addition, a neat new twist, which is unlike the Die Hard games. Excuse me. Unlike the Die Hard games, where you, as part of the Die Hard game, you select your sector special. You get to select what your home office has as your sector special, which is, it's nice when you actually automatically have a sector special to start off the game instead of having to complete the task of clearing out the sector and so forth and then finally getting a sector special after that. In the standard game, what I do is, as of turn 10, you get to select your sector special. That means that either you can, if you've gotten a sector special by turn 10, which would be pretty amazing, then you can replace it with whatever you want. Or you can have two sector specials at that point. So I think that's a true, the kind of a, I like the idea for that, just for the plain simple fact that in my mind it gets people, because of course part of the Starfleet Warlord is the randomness of the terrain and of the layouts, what corporations you're going to face, what's going to be their strengths, who's going to be there, because obviously different players have different stratagems when it comes to playing the game of Starfleet Warlord. So you might want to have different sector specials. So going far. So when you go into the actual game itself and actually start playing it, and you see what you've got, it gives you a better ability, in my mind, to select a sector special, which will be benefit to what your current situation. Now, I'm sure there's some Starfleet Warlord players out there who actually will disagree with that. So, and there, you are more than happy to disagree with me. I do not mind that at all. So, but I think that does give you a kind of a neat thing when it comes to the standard game. So hopefully we'll get that thing. I have it start to had it set to start in a week and a half, or little less than a week and a half at this point. So it's not this weekend coming up, it's a weekend after this weekend, which will be so that's when it will start, and I'm gonna do my best to try to get things keep things going on time. I will probably be the turns are going to be due on Friday, not Saturday. It's going to start on Saturday, but they're going to be due on Friday, and hopefully get things going and keep things going at a good pace. Obviously, given that it's weekly, it should be good. And actually, that was one thing that email that said, talked about the NPCs, that they also said that they definitely liked the one game, the 1 week turnaround, which is fine. Fine, I can have that means I can run only three games at a time. I have the two diehards, which are juxtaposition. They on off weeks, like this week, I think it's Die Hard 59. That's what the orders are due for this week, this weekend coming up. And then we're gonna, and then next weekend that is gonna be Die Hard 58. So they go on, on and off when it comes to those weekends. So then I don't, I never, I'm trying to process three full games during a weekend, which is difficult, and definitely given that the end of the year is coming up, I gotta start thinking about taxes for next year and get those all done and so forth. Not something I look forward to, but something I know it needs to be done starting soon. So, that's good to hear that that it's starting up and so forth. There's actually another topic which I'm gonna bring up. Excuse me. No.
Aw.
You say aw.
Get him, kid. Get him, Kazini. Get him. Oh.
Yes, then one of the new ones, big surprise. Aang
How many do you have now?
I have five.
Oh, okay. You said
Aang
new
it.
ones. I thought you might have gotten another one.
No, I got
Okay.
instead of getting one kittens, we got two because one had a disabled brother. He has some issues. The funny part about it is Boomy. That's the one that has some physical issues. He doesn't have great balance. I forget why there's something wrong with his brain. So that means,
He's a cat.
yeah, well, he can't run down the stairs.
Oh, wow.
He has to be very careful because otherwise, what happens is his back because he can't run down the stairs. And it goes one step at a time. If he goes too fast, his back end goes over his front end, and he'll tumble down the steps. That's why.
Okay.
Yesterday, one thing that happened was that, okay, he has this one favorite toy, and that toy somehow got upstairs. So, okay, I'm gonna bring it downstairs. Well, I know that Boomy's gonna be very excited about this, and he'll forget that he has to go slowly down the steps. So I picked up the toy, I picked up Boomy, and I brought them both downstairs so I could play with the kitty. So that worked out fine.
Okay, so you guys did not add to the crazy cat couple starter set.
No. Currently, we've had five since February,
That's like you guys should have a barn or something for them.
I
That's like
understand.
having barn cats.
Yeah, well,
Numbers.
we already have two cats next door, which are outside cats. They roam around the neighborhood, but our neighbor feeds them, and I'm assuming that that she takes them to the vets when they need to take them to the vets for like shots, like rabies shots, which is a good thing. Especially since they roam around the neighborhood, and they probably interact with other cats that are in the neighborhood. We have, to my knowledge, I think we have four different cats in the neighborhood. Two of them from my next door neighbors. But
Wow.
yeah, well, and it just reminds me that one time that the township actually sent out a flat, not flyer, but a survey. And one of the questions about it was, do we think we have a problem with feral cats? And I said, no, we don't. It's not like we
No,
have,
we love.
the cats, to my understanding, are not feral. They actually do have owners. It's just that the cats from the neighborhood, they're outside cats. And that, hey, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine with me. It's not like we're inundated with cats around here. We have, as I said, we have maybe four that I've ever seen. Actually, yeah, there's these four. Yeah, because the one that actually lives one corner. I see them at their door sometimes, and I see the one up the street, which is just I see them cross the street every once in a while. And then, of course, as I said, the two next door. Anyhow, moving on and forward, the one thing that actually I did start doing, I got suggestion from, it came, it, was a not a suggestion, but it came from a quick discussion with one of the not well, a comment from YouTube. Let's put it that way. Okay, this is, don't mind me. I want to see if I can, I'm going to do updates for YouTube. Let's see if I can see anything. No, he's not replied since I replied to him. And that's true. Don't mind me, I'm just getting back here and I want to go back here. Which is, I thought in YouTube I could see he might have replied to my reply. He didn't reply to my reply. But one thing that came out of the discussion with this commenter on YouTube is basically one of the things they're commenting, which was the person was saying that I don't there people don't like SFB Online and people don't like putting things on the discussion board because they think it's controlled by Steve Cole and yeah, to a certain degree it is, which is good because Lord knows there's a lot of jerks out there, saying willy-nilly. And I replied to him and said, flat out, like, okay,
Who are
if
these people?
yeah, exactly, if the discussion board or
That's
Facebook.
him.
I did not bring up Facebook, but I there is Facebook, and I've not seen any bad comments on the Facebook groups for Starfleet battles. Not seen
Yeah,
anything.
that's just him being a jerk or projecting.
Right, I think I might be him projecting, because
I don't like it, therefore others don't.
right, exactly, and that's why I just I mentioned that I think he's projecting, but now he'll know. But I think you might be projecting because I have not got a response from you.
You probably won't.
because of my question is, okay, that's the case. I've not heard from it from people that they think SFB Online sucks and that they really, you know, we need to be doing something else. In some cases, I think I think the one person that I talked to on YouTube, I think my guess, and this is a blind guess, is that he wants SFB Online to be free. You know, it doesn't cost anything, so people can play without issue. It's like, well, I need
to pay. Go ahead and develop it.
Yeah, because
go develop it yourself.
Yeah, my issue is I need to pay for like all servers,
space. Yeah.
Hey, domains. You know, actually paying in the case of Apple when it comes to their having the product on Apple's platform on a Mac, I've got to pay for the developer account, which costs money.
Yep.
You know, so things cost money. So I need something to pay me to support it. You know, so
basically spoiled brat, basically.
Well, I think some people get spoiled because there's so many services out there currently which are free. But of course, how are they free? That means if remember the whole issue about free.
Yeah, microtransactions.
Well, no. If
ads, if everything you're, else,
if the,
none
if,
of it's
if,
free.
If you're not paying for the product, then obviously the product is you.
Yeah.
They sell your information.
Among others.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
And
data mining, yes.
And then, of course, then there's, you know, advertisements which pay for it. And of course, that advertisement can then go and track you and be aggregated from all these data collection people, which the one that I still don't understand about the data collection, that whole mechanism. Yeah, you collect all this data. Who wants it? Who's buying it? Because obviously, if you're spending the effort to collect the data and correlate the data, you know, who is paying you for the data? Someone has to pay you for it, for your time, you know. And I think because first party, when it comes to like Google tracking you across the internet, that makes sense because they sell ads. So they want to be able to take the data they've collected about where you're going and what you do, and they want to be able to sell that to ad people and say, hey, well, we can have it so your ad shows up in the right spot. Now, the whole thing with ads and when it comes to that, it seems like, you know, the whole idea of, oh, by allowing us to track you, we can give you better ads. I've yet to see that.
All data is useful.
And I think the problem, I've never really seen that it actually ever got improved. And my guess, the only reason it doesn't get improved is because the amount of ads out there that really are good for that targeting are very small compared to the number of generic ads which they need to sell. So therefore, there's a lot of ads out there which don't match the criteria, but they put them in front of you, in front of your face anyway.
Yeah. So anyway.
Anyway, sorry.
So
went down that rabbit hole. But
the guy's a crank who thinks everybody else's opinion is his, and he thinks he's entitled to this being done for free for whatever reason.
Well, then that's my guess. But anyhow,
I mean, look, if you walked into your average game store nowadays, you know, you'll get charged for table space. You'll pay to play in their space. You know, I mean, it's like, what the heck? I mean, you buy the game to start with. Yes, you should be able to play the game for free, but you've already paid for it. But you go into a private space to play the game that's owned by somebody that's their commercial entity. You're going to pay to sit down and use their table.
Right.
You have the same analogy with SFB Online, because SFB Online is not a it's not a selling tool of ADB, where they use it to advertise their game or sell their game through it. It's like your little game shop online that they're walking into and playing that game in. There's an analogy for you to use back at people like that with that attitude, mm-hmm. if you want.
Oh, understood.
And you're welcome.
Thank you. There you go. Yeah. So one thing that I
they won't care about you paying for server space. They're going to be like, they won't get it until you explain it. Look, if you walked into Joe's Game Shop downtown, they might demo a game for you, but if you want to go in there and spend the day or the weekend playing at one of their tables, you're going to be paying for that one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. True. By the way, getting back to one thing that came out of it was that, okay. I have not actually heard things from my community. So I'm in the middle of actually creating a survey to ask people, because one thing that he mentioned was that, you know, people really don't want to play tournament ships. And one thing, you know, I mentioned, actually, I know that he replied back on this. Maybe that's the reply I'm looking for. And that is, the one thing I saw as a reply, that I said, you know, the thing is, you know, tournament ships are nice and balanced, you know, and so forth. So when it comes to having a different kind of format where you actually have BP, like BPV, you know, that is just, you're going to have issues with things when it comes to having a balanced play, basically having an opportunity that everyone can win. Because that's why you have balanced play. That's why you have tournaments just that have been worked on for years. Obviously, you know, when it comes to adding more ships or even keeping an eye on the balance of ships, has not happened.
I have to point out the obvious.
What is the obvious?
You already have it set up where you don't have to play tournament ships.
Right. Oh, agreed. But he was pointing out that. You know,
he's just going to complain about everything.
Oh, understood. But, you know,
that's what it sounds like.
Right. Understood. You know,
I understand the mindset.
He's a person who likes the full SFB experience. Not everyone likes that. But I went, okay, fine. Let's just. So what I'm doing is I'm creating a survey on, okay, do you like play a tournament? Because obviously one of the things that has happened is that this was a reply actually a few weeks ago. That is that, you know, AD is trying to encourage people to be involved in the Sapphire Star tournament. When it comes to Sapphire Star tournament number 20, that one thing they are doing to encourage people is that people who have not played in a tournament, I think in 2024, 2025, yeah, either year, you can get a free ticket from ADB to pay for, to quote unquote, pay for your slot in the tournament. So that a way of encouraging people without cost to they actually join the tournament. So, you know, and he's saying, well, there's some people. So I went, yep, you know, because he's going on about, okay, people don't like the tournament, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine.
Well, they don't have to play either, so right. There you go.
But, okay, but again, as you said yourself, Doug, this person's just yakking off. Well, that's Look, you know, I'm open. I'm open to it. I'm open to what, you know, am I missing something? Is there something
that, I think that, you're just overreacting to this
guy. I don't feel like I'm overreacting.
I don't think you are over. Because you've got a niche thing set up.
Right.
That you have set up for a specific purpose. You built this to do what you're doing it with.
Right.
He wants to have it so he can do whatever he wants for free with it.
Right.
And he's trying to make you dance to his freaking tune. Fuck him.
No.
You know, I mean, there's...
I understand, but at the same time...
I think it's inconsiderate of the guy in a sense because he probably doesn't understand. Is the guy a developer? Or is he just random guy?
Probably just some random guy at the moment.
Because you put a lot of work into this. It's not your full-time job. And... You know, and you have it set up where people can do things other than tournaments in it. I mean, the 500 BPV tournament setup, you know, you're playing with non-tournament ships, so to speak. You know, you could theoretically use any SSD setup in the game if you wanted to sit down and make the file for it. So, it's like, I think the guy's just kind of yanking your chain a bit. Maybe. Or... You're letting your chain get yanked by him.
No, I don't think that's the case.
To a degree.
No,
I mean, but, I've only known you for 20, 30 something years here now.
Oh, I understand. But, okay.
And I think little overreaction on it. Because you got your thing. You got your niche. You got people that come out and do the thing.
Right.
SFB to start with is a 1% of the 1%ers thing.
Mm-hmm. I understand. And I understand that... One issue that we have currently is that our community is shrinking.
We're graying. And there are younger people coming into it.
Right.
From different venues. Yeah. I mean,
and even individuals who are coming back to the game.
A niche thing.
You know, and actually I've seen on Facebook, you know, people actually you know, bringing their son, you know, bringing their kids and going, hey, you know, let's play. And I think it might have been Federation Commander, it might have been SFP, but, you know, play these games, you know, because there's the games I enjoy growing up, you know, and they're introducing it to their kids. And which is fantastic. But I'm not even having them jank my chain. But
if you want to get the younger people into the game, I think there's two ways to do it, and it's really not SFB online. I think it's really going out to a game shop and renting a table for the day and playing the game with people where it's visible. Like when you were in the Breezeway at Origins.
Right.
You know, just the exposure of somebody seeing you do it there. You know, because in the online community, you're preaching to the choir.
Right.
You're preaching to the people that have sought you out.
Right.
And this guy, we've seen the type over the decades. You know, and it's like, there's no amount of anything you're going to do that's going to make that guy happy.
Yeah. Oh, I understood. And Doug, I'm not trying to.
Yeah.
Okay. But. He brings up a good point. That is, do we know why people are not signing up for the tournament? I think that's a valid question. Because we're making assumptions. We have not asked them why. Which is why I'm in the middle of creating a survey. To you know, mm-hmm. to ask people, have you been in the tournament lately? If not, why? You know, is it that you've been too busy? Yeah. Is it not important to you? Do you
have you moved on?
Is it because
it
costs money? You know things like that. You know, and
it's not a money issue. I'll tell you that straight up.
Okay. Well, that...
and I'm trying to avoid the projection thing of here's how I feel about it.
Yeah,
but
I know.
No, for the people that you've had come into it, it's not a money thing. If it's anything, it's a time thing
probably, or a moving on to other things thing. So, plus, like you said, we are a graying community. And, you know, newer people coming into the hobby, well, if they're connected through people that are already in where the SFB online thing, they're going to eventually gravitate to that. Maybe if they have a real long-term interest in the game versus something to do with dad on the weekend. You know, just kind of saying there.
Oh, guess Dave. Hey, guess Dave. Mm-hmm. Understood.
So,
but yeah, okay.
I can see the survey thing.
Yeah.
For the people that you've had before.
Right, and you know, because
you've got those databases of people.
Right, I've got the emails from the people who are either were or part or signed up for SFB Online that I can send out a survey to and go, okay, why, you know. You know, can you give me, you know, and is it because of the format? Is it because of other reasons? You know, but the idea is to get more information about why people aren't playing in the tournament. And yeah, actually find out from the people why they did not sign up.
Absolutely. Yeah, go for it.
You know, so, you know, that's one of the things that
I'm... And I know this is going to be something you don't want to hear. Just try not to overthink it.
Okay.
When you do it.
Oh, I understand. So, I'm trying to make it so
a few, that you short. Do you want me to brainstorm a few short questions for you, maybe?
Sure.
Okay. It may be an approach. Hey, we've been running Starfire for 20 years, X number of years, whatever. Haven't seen you in a recent tournament or something like that. Just letting you know that we're still here. You know, let me know if there's anything you need. Is there any reason why? I think is there any reason why you're playing it approach might not be the greatest way of going about it. But you can say, hey, is there anything we can do to improve it? Or, you know, because I think asking people, like, why haven't you been here recently is maybe not the best tack. It's kind of I think it's kind of a negative thing. You know, it's
no,
just...
No, I'm not approaching it with, you know, why haven't you logged in?
It kind of puzzles me because it's like, yeah, okay, they haven't been in it. Just, it's kind of a toughie in a sense. Because if people don't want to sign up, they're doing it because they don't have time or they.
Right. Well,
and if you say, hey, are you not here because you don't have time? Well, what business of that is ours, so to speak, or right. yours to
well,
them.
If they want to say it, if they tell me that they're just not, you know, it's they're too busy and they're doing other things, that's fine. I'm not gonna question them on that. You know, whether you know they're saying the truth or not. No, I'm not gonna question them on it. You know, but you know, it'd be nice to know. Okay, you didn't want tournament. Is tournament play just not your thing? You know, or you know, did you want to play and you didn't have time, or is it a price thing? You know, why not have we need that? Because you're trying to say, well, you know, you're trying to be very passive about this, Doug, your approach, which is. We're here.
Well, yeah, because I mean, if I got a survey like that, I'd be like, why are you asking me these questions? It's like,
well, also you're cynical too, something. Doug.
Yeah, I'm very cynical. Yes.
Which is
oh, absolutely. You got me on that one. But now it's like, I'm thinking something more along the lines of like. hey, is there anything we can do to improve the tournament for you? Because, I mean, if they are interested in the tournament play and they have the time, they're going to make the time. You know, if they don't have the time, then that's just a thing. They'll come back when they have the time. Maybe just kind of remind them that the tournament's there. I mean, it's entirely possible. Some people haven't come back because they're not getting the information on it. So, because I can't see off the top how you could really improve the time frame thing for them. Because you have deadlines you have to do. You have to keep the thing going. So, it's just that I don't know. It's like, and then the other question is how many of the emails are still valid in a graying community? You know, mm-hmm. You might not hear back from some people because they're not around anymore.
Right.
So,
and that's fine, you know. And then as it is, the idea of the survey is it's completely optional. It's like, I'll send out an email saying, we've noticed that we've had a downturn in the number of people signing up for the tournaments. If you would, you know, if, you know, and I would appreciate, you know, you taking the survey, if you know, it should take you only like less than 5 minutes. Cause I hate those surveys, which will go, you know, can you just take a few minutes? 15 minutes later, you're still in the middle.
Oh, by the way, check your email for Eve. They did a survey recently.
Right. The CCP. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, go ahead and fill it out because you get a chance to get Plex on it.
Right.
And if you happen to be one of the people that gets the Plex packs, that's like multiple months of gameplay for the amount they're giving away.
Yeah, it's from CCP Research. Share your opinion with CCP.
Yeah, SurveyMonkey.
That one.
Yeah, that's a valid one.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I think I filled that out last year. I think it was.
Well, no, they just did one today, like yesterday.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They have a new the new expansion out right now, and they want some feedback on the expansion. So. But yeah, maybe kind of limit it to some stuff like, you know, is there an issue with the gameplay or is there an issue with the format?
Right. Yeah.
You know, is there, yes,
agreed.
You know, just short, simple stuff.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I
do not plan on having this long. Maybe 10 questions. Maybe 10 questions. And that's about it. I want them to be simple. A lot of them, you know, start off with, you know, hey, have you played in a tournament in the past year? Yes or no? Say no. Okay, fine. And then the next question is if yes or if no, why? You know, just get some. Otherwise, you'll obviously want, you, if you say yes, you can skip that. You know, and then there's some other opinions about the key.
I have an idea that could save you some time too.
What's that?
What about checking the validity of the emails? Like
I can't check the validity of the emails. Short of, because depends upon how you check the validity. How did you check the validity of the email?
Isn't there a function nowadays where you can check to see if something's been read? So if you send out like, you know, your call that says, hey, you know, tournament X is on day Y. And it goes straight to somebody's junk folder because they marked it as junk because they're not interested anymore. Then that's a person that you're not going to hear back from because they didn't take the time to hit stop or something like that or unsubscribe.
Yeah, it depends on. Okay. There are things called read receipts. And some a lot of email programs block those. They don't send the read receipts back. Then, of course, we have the problem with the tracking pixels. Because tracking pixels, a lot of times, those are used to denote whether, you know, that someone actually opened up the email. Well, that's good for the sender, but also it's a way of tracking people. And in some cases, some email clients, they block those.
Yeah, it's an arms race.
Yeah. You know, so checking the validity of an email address is not an easy thing. And Lord knows the spammer scammers and other lowlifes, they love to have like any kind of tool they can have to actually have to know that they have a valid email address they can send things to. You know, and they know it's going to be read, you know. And in some cases, Lord knows that some of those emails that are just by rendering it, can hack your system, you know, because of security issues. Hey, shocking! There's security issues in browsers, because that's what ends up being for a lot of those mail clients.
That's why we end up being a browser,
you know.
Yeah, that's why we can't have nice things. Got it.
Oh, well, don't get me started on nice things. To say the very least, when the internet was created, it was, to say the very least, everyone had the good vibe. You know, this is going to be great. This is going to be awesome. Not thinking about how it could be used for evil intent, which is the problem.
And then people started blocking your porn at work. Jeez, what were they thinking? Oh, wait. Sorry.
Yeah. Now, don't get me started on that. Because, obviously, you got to remember, at work, especially if that computer belongs to the company, they can watch you do whatever. They have the right to actually track what you're doing on that laptop, on that computer. Because it is the company's.
Dude, computer. I know. It's okay.
Well, you're the one that started, man. So
I'm kind of stumped on, like, it's like, because it's one of those things they're either signing up because they have the time and the interest, or they're not signing up because they don't have the time or the interest. I don't think there's really much beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy coming along and saying, spouting off all his stuff, I think it's just,
Doug, it might be simple as that. And that's what the survey returns back. But we can't.
Yeah.
But we can't make assumptions. We have to have data to actually make informed decisions. So that's why I'm going to create the survey and send it out. There's only one thing that I'm debating on. Which is,
I do have the one that you could throw into it. It is handicapping, like class. It's entirely possible that maybe one of the reasons some people don't come back to it is because they're never in the winning bracket.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while there are other formats that you could do a tournament in, there's no guarantee those would put them in a winning bracket, but it would give them the illusion of having the option, mm-hmm. the potential for it. You know, I mean, if I got my ass beat 100,000 times and I always saw just that one guy wins every tournament, I might lose interest in it after a while. Right.
Well, that's definitely.
Or I might be completely 100% OCD and say, no, I must do this until the day I croak to beat that one guy. Understood.
But at the same time, when it comes to the Sapphire Star tournaments, it's not just that one guy. That's not
but like in poker, the people at the final table are usually a fairly familiar group in tournaments. So, you know, the final small group that get in the money, you know, it's like sometimes random guy will get in there, but most of the time it's going to be a particular group of skilled players that have been at it for a long time. Mm-hmm. So,
well, if that
could be part of it. Okay, maybe you need a junior tournament set up.
Right, which is what I was just thinking about, is that it's maybe that would be an option, which is if you haven't played ever in a Sapphire Star tournament, or at the very least you haven't played in the past 2 years, then you're eligible to sign up for this other, I'm not sure if you call it Sapphire, but this other tournament, which is for basically newbies, you know, new players or you know, less good players, you know, that could have them a better chance, so that, you know, it's limited to the quote unquote sharks.
Did you ever do a rating system, like chess rating system?
Yeah.
Because you could also do something with that too.
Yeah, that's one thing I have to update it. The current ratings. It's been a while since I was interested in it many years ago. I think it's over 5 years ago now. I was trying to bring back the Netkill tournament, and try to get the numbers, because of Robert Shermer is the one who created the system. And I think where I left it. It's been a while. But he's the one who created the system to have the ranking of the people. So
it could be something like, you know, here's a potential question for you. It could be, would you be interested if there was a rating system? Like in chess, where you had different ranked tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
Something, something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, definitely something, a good question to ask, you know, one of those things, you know. And as I said, I'll make sure I limit the questions. I don't want to go too crazy with too many options.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely sounds like a good option to bring up, especially as you pointed out, the possible issue with the sharks, I played in that tournament like 3 or 4 years ago, and I did not, you know, I haven't signed up since, because I kept on losing in the first round against these really
which is kind of a damper.
And if that's the case, you know, again, that's what we need to find out.
Yeah.
If that's the case,
the pool is shallow.
Then I'm sure we can have ADP support, you know, having a secondary tournament. You know, secondary tournament games that we have played, so that people of lesser abilities can play in and have fun. You know, have a chance of winning, because, you know, everyone likes to play SFB. And play, especially if it's a good game. But, you know, everyone likes to win. And Lord knows, don't get me started on this, which is, of course, everyone gets a trophy. There's no losers. Yeah. Yes, there is.
Well, SFB is the champion of that part. you're going to find out what it really means to win or not.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, that might be a thing. That could be a thing, but then again, you know, it's like if you keep it at like 5, 6, 7 questions,
right,
really pare it way, way down, like, mm-hmm. You know, what would bring you back into it if you haven't been playing for a few years? You know, but the question is this. It's like, is it an interest thing, or is it a time thing. I think that's probably 90% of your issue that people who haven't been around for a while have.
Mm-hmm.
So,
understood.
You know, it's like I explained to Barry before, not everybody does something for 50 years. You know, a lot of people will change their hobbies around and do other stuff. So.
Yeah, well, and I'm one of those old timers, and you could just look at my gray hair. That I've pretty much had the same job for the most part. The only difference is the company that I've been working for, and that and those companies. Well, other than one of them, I got hired by Primavera Systems back in the day, right out of college. And then I left that company after 10 years, went to another company, same job, basically. But then I, you know, then of course that company got acquired by my current company, a multinational corporation. And I've been doing that same job for long that has been going on.
I've been doing the same job since
1989. But the thing is, my understanding is that is old school. That you gotta work for the same company, which in my mind I really haven't, but I have. If you look back, I've actually worked for the same company because of the Primavera Systems, which was my first company I worked for. They got acquired by the multinational corporation I'm currently working for. So whether I stayed with Primavera Systems for those years that I was at, instead of going to another company, I would end up basically working with the same corporation.
Right, but that's your job. That's not your hobby. So
right, yeah, but the point is, Doug, that I'm pointing out that according to surveys, that most people they change careers every 10 years.
Oh yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, but I'm not one of those people. You're right. I'm old school when it comes to that. So anyhow,
yeah.
I think we'll wrap it up here. You know, had a nice discussion about tournaments and surveys and maybe some ideas of some other tournaments that maybe could encourage people to come back and play more tournaments, more tournament play. So, anyhow, Doug. Yes.
Plug.
Go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
Gamers Winter. I mean, that's President's Day weekend. It's only a few months away. So send me your schedule. Him.
Not know, missing
right
any
here
names.
In Harrisburg, PA, and so forth and so on. But yeah, we got that coming up. And there was somebody on Starfleet, one of the Starfleet threads, asked if there was any kind of online play thing for Starfleet Battles, and I told him to talk to you. I don't know if that's the same person, but God, I hope not. If it is, I'm sorry.
No, I'm willing to bet it's not the same person. Because obviously,
I don't remember the guy's name. On it was YouTube, like random comment.
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook. The guy on YouTube, obviously, he knows about me, knows about SFP Online, knows about he's been following the YouTube feed for a while. So.
Maybe then. So, yeah, just I would point out to that guy, hey, look, you can do whatever you want with the client. You can play all these other different things.
Yep.
So it's set up to, you can play scenarios in it.
Yep, you can play Federation Commander if you want to, which is. Okay, well, anyway, Doug, have a good night.
Yep, I'll be here for a few minutes then if you want to yak for a couple seconds when we're done.
Okay, well done. So, had a nice little discussion about, of course, Starfleet Warlord, which is You know, I'm sure some people actually would appreciate me mentioning that other game, which is kind of in the vestiges, you know, of the ADB universe, ADB games. Obviously, another one is Starfleet Battle Force, which is I play every once in a while. And, you know, most of those times are actually at Gamers I've played. And obviously, for those of you who've been following me on YouTube, you might even watched me showing the demo of Starfleet Battle Force when we did it live last time. And obviously, we plan on doing it live again this year, and hopefully it will last. You know, everything will go well. And I still got to get with Doug and actually create the what I want as for doing those overhead shots to have a better view of the map itself. I think that'd be great. Maybe hopefully have a little more, you know, better setup. Let's put it that way. So, with that, I'm Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.